If you have your scripture and want to read with me the verses that the Lord has laid upon my spirit, we're going to take you to the book of Joshua. Joshua chapter 1 and verse number 1. So Joshua chapter 1, verse number 1. The Bible said, "Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. And every place that the sole of your feet shall tread upon, that have I given you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, and all of the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your coasts. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life, as I was with Moses." Man, what a powerful promise. "As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. And I will not fail thee, nor will I forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people," he's talking to Joshua, "unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all of the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left, that thou mayest prosper wheresoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth." He's saying that the Holy Scripture should not depart out of your mouth. Meditate upon it. Apply it. Make it a part of your life. "But thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then shalt thou make thy way prosperous. And then shalt thou have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest." Be strong and of a good courage, and be not afraid, be not dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. I'm going to stop reading right there this morning. Ask that you would bow your heads and let us pray once more as we enter into the Word of God. Pray for His anointing upon me, and pray for the anointing upon the Word and for us to receive. Heavenly Father, we thank You this morning that we are a privileged and blessed people, that we have the opportunity and that we have had the opportunity together in this house for these some years. And Father, we thank You that You are God from everlasting unto everlasting, and that You change not. And that, Father, You have promised to be with us. And Lord, we ask now that Your Holy Spirit would be with us in the ministering of the Word. Of my own self, I am incapable. Of my own ability, I am frail. But I pray for Your anointing, and I pray for Your divine ability to effectively use me as an instrument in Your hand and as a mouthpiece for the Word of God. I pray that You would inspire my thoughts, put Your Word in my mouth and in my heart. I ask, Heavenly Father, this morning that you would allow that word to go forth under the anointing of your Holy Spirit, and that it would rest upon hearts that are equally touched of God to hear and to receive. Let the word of God be implanted in our hearts this morning. Above all, I pray that you would glorify the name of Jesus Christ, that you would edify the body of Christ, whether they are listening here in this auditorium this morning or if they are listening by way of the internet. I pray that you would touch hearts and touch lives, and that you would encourage and edify individuals in the faith. I ask these things for the glory of God. And I pray them this morning in the mighty and awesome name of our Savior, your Son, Jesus Christ. And everyone in agreement with that prayer said amen. Amen. So I want to title my message this morning, A Passover People. A Passover People. The children of Israel were indeed a Passover people. And you say, Pastor Gary, I don't know if I exactly understand what you mean, a Passover people. Well, let me just give you a little bit of their history, and maybe that history will help you make the connection. The children of Israel passed from Egypt. They passed through the Red Sea. They passed through the wilderness, and then they passed into the promised land. They were a people that were continually passing in from one place to another. They were a people that had experienced an ever-changing situation. They were accustomed to change, if you will. They were a people that had experienced an ever-changing set of circumstances. Think about it for a moment this morning. How must it have felt to them, the freedom from Egypt's bondage? What a wonderful experience that must have been. You will remember that they had been in slavery, the Bible tells us, for about 430 years. Can you imagine how they must have felt when they left Egypt's bondage and they were loaded down with the riches of Egypt because God had marvelously set them free? They were no longer slaves. They were no longer servants to another nation. But that freedom came with some uncertainty. That change was wonderful, but it came with some uncertainty. It came, no doubt, with a sense of insecurity. That freedom had a huge impact upon their existence. Not only that change, but then the freedom from wandering in the wilderness for 40 years undoubtedly was a welcome change or a welcome experience. But with that change of the wilderness and going into the promised land, there were some uncertainties and there were some challenges. How about the giants that were living over in the other land? Amen. How about some of the battles that were going to have to be fought and won in order for them to inherit the promised land? Each step in their journey required a change. When I say that they are a Passover people, understand that what I am saying is that they were a people that had to become accustomed to change. We too this morning are a Passover people. The Bible tells us in Scripture that we have passed, if we are a believer and we have put our faith in Christ, then we have passed from death unto life. Jesus said in John chapter 5 and verse number 24, he said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you that he that hears my word and believes on me that sent me, he has everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." Aren't you thankful this morning, beloved, that we have passed from death and sin into life and that more abundant in Christ Jesus? Scripture tells us that we have passed from darkness into his marvelous light. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 9 says, "We are a chosen generation, that we are a royal priesthood, that we have become a holy nation unto God, a particular or a peculiar people, that we should show forth the praises of him that has called us from darkness into his marvelous light." I love that scripture because it tells us that we have been called out to be called into. God did not just call us out of sin to allow us to just hang out. No, we've been called out to be called into his marvelous light. And I will just stop for a moment to tell you that every step along the way for you and I, there has had to be a change in our life. There is required a change. We've been called out that we might be called into, but that calling comes with a change or a requirement to change. Now, let me just share some good news with you about coming to the Lord and making the Lord of your life. Somebody said, "Yeah, I haven't given my heart to the Lord because I don't think I can live it. I don't think I can change." Good news. We are not the one that changes us, because we are incapable of making that change on our own. What does it? It is the power of God that changes us from the inside out. Amen. You are looking this morning at a preacher that hasn't always been a preacher. Hello. Amen. And I can tell you, when I came to the Lord, amen, I was a good sinner. I was good at it. But when Jesus came into my life, he's the one that made the change. I didn't have to go around trying to make myself be good. It just happened from the inside out. He just got a hold of my heart and began to change my thinking and begin to change my life. Hallelujah. I know we got visitors here this morning. I ought to settle down, but you might as well know, amen, that you have stepped into a Pentecostal church. Hello? Man, I can't help but feel it. This journey that we are on, we have passed from sin to salvation. Each step of that journey requires a change in us. And thank God it is the Holy Spirit that makes that change. Somebody said, "Well, as soon as I change some things in my life, I'm going to come to Jesus and serve the Lord." Baloney, you will never make the change. Because you can't make the change. You come to him just as you are, saying, "You call me, you want me, okay, you got me, here I am. I got some rough edges." Hello? How many of you got some rough edges? Put me at the head of the line. I got some jagged spots. Amen. But let me tell you what happens when you come to the Lord just as you are. He receives you just as you are, and he begins to make changes in your life. And sometimes they are just simply automatic. Hello?
Amen. By the grace of God, there has been a change in my thinking. By the grace of God, there has been a change in my lifestyle. By the grace of God, there has been a change in our heart. By the grace of God, there has been a change in the focus of my priorities. You hear what I'm saying this morning? When we come to Christ, He makes the change. But we are a people this morning. We are a people that need to learn how to embrace change. I mean, you know, one of the most fearful things for many people is change. Because it stretches us. It puts us outside of our normal. It puts us outside of our comfort zone. We may be in a great situation. We may be in a great place. But I believe with all of my heart that God is wanting all of us here this morning to be led into a more wonderful place in our walk and in our relationship with Christ. Amen. Maybe we're here this morning and we have a great place in our life and we have a great situation in our life. Can I just tell you that there's more? The Bible said unto him, amen, that is able to do abundant above all that we ask or think, exceedingly and abundantly. Amen. I just want you to know, no matter what level here you're on this morning, God has something better in mind for you. As a Passover people, as a people of God that are ever being constantly changed by His grace, we need to learn how to embrace change. We need to learn how to embrace a change. And in order to receive the new, we have to release the old. We have to be willing to let go of some things. Our text this morning, in their historical context, let me share with you some of the historical background concerning the verses that we've read today. We read in the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy is the last book of the Torah, or the last book of the law. We read in Deuteronomy chapter 34 in verse number 5 that Moses, the great servant of the Lord, has died. Moses, the lawgiver, the one who had been called by God at the burning bush to go and stand before Pharaoh and declare that the Almighty says, "Let my people go." Moses, the servant of the Lord that gave to us the law, the Torah, the word of God. Moses, the great man of God. Amen. From that moment forward, when Moses accepted the calling of God and stood before Pharaoh and declared the God, the great I am, said, "Let my people go." From that moment forward, the only leadership that the children of Israel would know for 40 years was the leadership of Moses. For 40 years, their leadership had been in place, but now Moses has died. And there is going to be a transfer of authority. There is going to be a change in leadership. There is going to be a situation where the children of Israel are going to be required to receive change. And if that weren't enough, a change in just leadership, if that weren't enough, soon they would be required to go in and possess the promised land. For many of them, the wandering in the wilderness was all they had ever known. Many of them had been born in the wilderness. Many of them had come out of Egypt's bondage. Now, let me just tell you quickly, historically, when God brought them out of bondage, God brought them 1 year and 3 months later. They were standing at the bank of the Jordan River, and God was telling them to go in and take the land. 1 year, 3 months. And you know the story, if you were a historian of Scripture, the Bible said that they refused to go in because there were giants over there and they saw obstacles. And so God said, all right, you have searched out the land for 40 days and now you are unbelieving and unwilling to go in and possess the land. So I will tell you what I will do. God said, I'm going to give you 40 years of wandering in the wilderness until all of this unfaithful, unbelieving generation die off, and then I will take your children into the land to possess it. So understand that even in their 40 years of wandering, they were still right smack dab in the will of God. They were still right smack dab in the will of the Lord. For 40 years, they had been a nomadic people, drifting from one place to another, from here to there, until the wandering had become a way of life and it had become ingrained in their lifestyle. And I will tell you this morning, there's nothing wrong with where they had been. They were right smack dab in the will of God. Even in their wandering, they were fulfilling the plan of God. But let me just remind you that seasons change. Can you say amen? Amen. God was about to bring them into a new season. God was about to bring them into a new situation. And they had to be willing to change. This new leadership, this new situation was going to require some change on their behalf. And God, when he began to lay this upon my heart and begin to lay this word upon my spirit on a corporate level, I couldn't help but think of this building and what a privilege that it has been to occupy this space and what a blessing it has been to Elevation Worship Center. Amen. We've had some obstacles and we've had some challenges, but it's been a great blessing to be here. But I came to tell somebody this morning, it's time to take the next step. It's time to pass over. It's time to trust God. Amen. For our continued growth and trust God to begin. Amen. To continue the process of building his church. This is not my church. This is not your church, but this is God's church. And the only reason that we exist is to exalt the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and to be a light to this community and a witness of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Ooh. Hallelujah. I've shared with you before, I would be happy sitting on the back row. Hello? It's not my thing. This is all about him. And what a blessing that it has been to be here. My wife shared with you just a few moments ago about how that the first Sunday that we met in Houston's house. There were about 72 people there. That was the first Sunday that we met. The following Sunday was November the 20th, 2011. Sorry, I've got 19. Yeah, you can tell this isn't just Colonel Sanders' look. It's really failing. Right? November the 20th, 2011. We went from his house, one service, right here. And we've been here ever since. We haven't missed a bit. Haven't missed a lick. The only two services we had to cancel was this past winter during Snowzilla. And I didn't want people hauling music equipment in on ice. I didn't want y'all getting out on the ice. But how blessed we have been. How amazingly prosperous God has been to us. And you know why? Because we have made it about him. We have made it about him. During this process, getting this building ready, I have been absolutely amazed at how God has provided for us. I told you about, you know, that not only the chairs for the adult sanctuary, but chairs for the little kids. I mean, you know, every time I turn around, God just is giving us another blessing. You know why? Because God recognizes that this isn't our thing, it's His thing. Amen. It's His thing. They had this morning, I just want to know, they had to be willing to change, even though this building has been a great blessing. I believe that God is calling us into another phase, another step of faith, another reaching out and believing God. He's met our needs here, and whatever we face over there, God's going to be faithful to take care of us there, just like He has been faithful to take care of us here. He's the same God yesterday, today, and forever. Hallelujah. On an individual level, many of us have been brought to this place in our lives by the hand of God, by the choices that we've made. Amen. But it doesn't mean that we have arrived. It doesn't mean that we have arrived and that we have made it, quote unquote. Maybe you're here this morning and you are tremendously blessed. That doesn't mean that that's all that there is. That doesn't mean that there's nothing more. That doesn't mean that God does not desire to do some greater things in your life than what's currently going on in your life today. I submit to you this morning that God wants us to continue to grow in our faith. God wants us to continue to grow in our revelation of who He is. God wants us to continue to grow in our knowledge. The Bible puts it this way, that we are to grow from faith to faith and from glory to glory, ever growing, ever changing, ever increasing in wisdom, ever increasing in our understanding of His word, and ever increasing in His joy, or the joy of the Lord, ever increasing in the peace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and ever increasing in the power and the anointing of His Holy Spirit. Amen. Somebody may be sitting here this morning thinking to themselves, Pastor Gary, you've made some changes along the way. You've made some changes in your theology, and you're not the same guy that you used to be. And I will tell you right up front, you are right. I hope to shout that I've made some changes in my life. I hope to shout that I've got a little more knowledge and a little more wisdom than what I used to have. I hope to shout, amen, that God's made some permanent changes down on the inside of me. And I'll tell you another little line right under that. I hope to shout there is some more changing to come, because I don't know it all, didn't know it all, amen, and I still want to grow in the knowledge of my God. Hallelujah. Amen. If you think you know it all when you come to Christ, I got news for you. There's a growing process. Can you say amen? Amen. Well, I pray that there are more changes in my heart and in my life. But here's the key. We have to be acceptable to those changes. Some of you, if you're here this morning, some of you, Holy Spirit is speaking to your heart and speaking about some changes that need to be made in your life, in your spirit. I don't have to tell you what they are. I don't have to point them out to you. I don't have to beat you over the head with the word so that you feel all convicted. No, the Holy Spirit right now is just pointing out some changes that need to be made in your life. You hear what I'm saying? And the news is this morning is all we have to be willing to do is change and say, yes, Lord, you are right. You are right. You are right. You are right, Jesus. Amen. I know that I've made some changes along the way in my life. I do know this morning that God desires each of us to bring about change in our spirit, that we might grow in Christ. Amen. My heart's desire is to be striving to grow in the Lord every day and striving to work out my own soul salvation with fear and trembling. But if you are here this morning and you want what you have right now, then change is not required. Did you hear what I said? If you're here this morning and you want no more, then change is not required. You can just float right on. I have always said, if you want what you got, do what you did. I don't know if that's good grammar or not, but it does get the point across. If you want what you got, do what you did, and you will have nothing more than what you have. You want something different? Do something different. Make some changes in your life. You want more joy in your spirit. You want more peace in your life. You want to feel a close relationship with the God of this universe. Then obey the word of the Lord and allow God to make those changes in your life. Amen. I don't know why in the world this morning that sometimes we become so stiff-necked and so stubborn and want to try to do it our way, when his way is the best way. He's just looking for us to surrender. If you want nothing more, then don't change a thing. But if you're hungry for more, if you are desiring a deeper walk with God, if you are tired of church as usual, if you're tired of the ordinary and the mundane, then we've got to step out of our comfort zone and step out into sometimes the unknown and make some changes in our life. And when we do, those changes will bring us into a deeper relationship with the Lord. If you want something more than what you currently have, then make some changes, amen, and become a Passover person. I submit to you this morning that Passover individuals are the ones that pass from mediocrity to excellence. People who are willing to make changes are the kind of people that go from barely hanging in there to having a vibrant relationship with the Lord. How many of you have ever found yourself just barely hanging in there? Hello? And my wife raised her hand too. Praise God. Hey, we've all been there. Passover people are the kind of people that, amen, go from just barely hanging in there to thriving in the presence of God. This morning, I want to talk about three different types of character that the children of Israel displayed as they passed over from the wilderness into the promised land. And I believe that we need to have those same three characteristics. Number one, they had to be willing to turn loose of their past in order to embrace their future. Now, let me just remind you, it wasn't easy for some of them to turn loose of their past. As a matter of fact, if you recall when Moses brought them, now get this, Moses brought them out of slavery. And they got on the other side of the Red Sea, and this is what some of them said. This is King James Version. Would to God we would have stayed in Egypt. Would to God that we had stayed over there in bondage. I said sometimes change can be a challenge. These folks couldn't turn loose of what was in order to obtain what God wanted to give them. They were still looking back at what was, And I just tell you this morning, if we're ever going to receive what God wants us to have, we got to be willing to turn loose of what was. We got to be willing to turn loose of the past in order to embrace the future. What they were really saying was, I wish we would have stayed in slavery. Well, I don't know about you, but I would be shouting on the top of the hill thanking God that I'd been delivered from slavery. Because I would believe that the same God that delivered me from the bondage of the Egyptians would be big enough to save me and meet my need out in the wilderness. Hello. Some people are held by their past. They are held like a captive by their past, our past failures. Even our past victories can become a stumbling block if we're not careful. We need to turn loose of some of the things that are behind us in order to achieve some of the things that God laid out before us. Let me give you some verses from the Apostle Paul, Philippians chapter 3 and verse number 12 through verse number 14. The Apostle Paul says these words, not as though I had already attained. In other words, he said, I ain't made it yet. Not as though I had already attained. Either were already perfect. He said, I ain't got there yet. But he said, brethren, this one thing I do. This one thing I do, forgetting those things that are behind and reaching forth unto those things that are before, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. In other words, the Apostle Paul was saying, in order for me to achieve what God wants me to achieve in my future, I gotta forget about what's behind me. I got to put the past in the past. I need to forget some things. Look at somebody sitting next to you and tell them, I need to forget a few things. I need to forget some things. I need to forget how they did me wrong. And I need to forget what they said. And I need to forget some of the mistakes that I've made in my past. And I need to forget some of the things that I've been hanging on to. And some of my past hang-ups and my past hang-outs. I need to put some of my victories behind me. And recognize that God is wanting to do something new in my life right now today. Hallelujah. Forgetting those things that are behind and reaching forth unto those things that are before, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Lord, help us to put it behind us so that we might attain what's before us. Change often comes with a certain amount of uncertainty, and we often resist change. But how many of you know that 40 years of doing things the same old way was kind of difficult for them to give up? I mean, after 40 years in the wilderness, and now they are told to go in and possess the promised land, after 40 years of doing things a certain way, they had become accustomed to that way. They were accustomed to certain things, and it was going to be a challenge for them to give it up. If we're not careful, sometimes we will get to thinking that this must be all there is. Amen. We get to thinking that we've done it this way for nearly 40 years. It's the right way. Well, just because we've done it that way for 40 years doesn't mean it's just the right way or the only way. Hello? When I see some of our little ones, you know, we're playing a rocking tune, and, you know, some of our little ones at times, you know, get to dancing around and having a good time. Somebody said, you know, I mean, somebody may be thinking, Pastor, I wish you would make them sit down. Well, you just go right on wishing. It ain't gonna happen. Well, let me share a personal, you know, testimony. I remember when I was a junior,
And I was just a little guy, and my family was in a service one night, and man, it was a Holy Ghost filled service, and the musicians were, they were playing a good, they were playing something with a beat, and I was standing between the pews, and I was shaking a leg, Jackson. Elvis didn't have nothing on me. I couldn't have been more than 8 or 9 years old, maybe younger, I don't know. And but I was as sincere as the day is long. I was just singing my heart out, and I was having myself a time. I wasn't shouting like some of the other folks were shouting, but I was shouting in my way. And one dear old saint sternly tapped me on the shoulder and sternly said to me, "We don't dance in the house of God." And I didn't say it, but I thought it. No, you don't dance in the house of God. I knew better than to say it. But preacher, I've never grown up in a church where they let little ones just dance. Well, that's all right. Amen. You enjoy the Lord in your way and let them enjoy the Lord in their way. Hello? Now, I didn't grow up doing it that way, but I made a few changes along the way. Hello? I would just assume that they, amen, think of church as an enjoyable experience than us dragging them out of bed and hauling them to the house of God. I would just assume that they get up going, "Yay, I get to go shout before the Lord. I get to go hear some good music." Hello. Amen. Well, we have to be willing to step out of our comfort zone, and we have to be willing to step into the unknown. Just like the children of Israel, they had to put what was behind them in order to step over onto the other side and believe that the same God that had kept them in the wilderness was going to keep them and give them the land that he had promised to them. Amen. I don't know about you this morning, but I am hungry for the next chapter in my book. I'm hungry this morning for the next chapter in my life. I'm excited about the next chapter in the life of Elevation Worship Center. And I'm excited this morning for the next chapter in your life's book. Amen. I come to tell somebody this morning, amen, that we need to make some changes. And when we make the changes that God's asking us to make, it'll bring us into a closer relationship with God. But Pastor Gary, God doesn't change. You're exactly right. The Bible said he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. The Bible said that he said, "I am God and I change not." Right? Did he say that? Well, let me tell you what doesn't change about God. God, his character never changes. The Bible said that he is the Father of lights in whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. In other words, he is always the same. He is good all the time. His character does not change. He is always the same. His character is just good. We can't always say that. But his character is just good. He never changes. Let me tell you what else never changes. His principles never change. What do you mean, preacher? Well, right is always right and wrong is always wrong. That doesn't change. That's God. He doesn't change. But does God ever change his plan? Does God ever change his method? Oh, absolutely. Oh, absolutely. God often changes his method. God often alters his plan in order to bring around his original purpose. Hello? Amen. Yes, God doesn't change, but let me give you an example. The Apostle Paul is on the road to Damascus. God had called Paul from his birth to be an apostle to the Gentiles. Scripture bears that out. Galatians bears that out. God had called Paul from infancy to be an apostle to the Gentiles. And you know what Paul was doing when God came on the scene and saw him? Paul was standing around persecuting the church.
God said, that's all right. Just keep right on persecuting the church. I'm going to change your life. And if you read about it, you can read about it in Acts chapter 7. Paul is on the road to Damascus. He has a letter in his pocket so that he has authority from the government to persecute the church. He has a letter in his pocket authorizing him to destroy Christians. And Paul is walking down the road to Damascus thinking he is doing God a favor. And all of a sudden, a bright light shines around about him, so bright that it blinds him and knocks him to his knees. And Jesus Christ speaks to him and says, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? His name was Saul. God changed it to Paul. Why persecute you me? And he said, who are you? And he said, I'm Jesus of Nazareth, whom you persecute. Now, how many of you know Paul wasn't persecuting Jesus, amen, literally, but he was persecuting the church. Let me just tell you, when the church goes through persecution, the Lord takes it personal. He said, why are you persecuting me? And there, right there on the road to Damascus, Paul had a change in theology, and Paul had a change in his mission in life. And for going from persecuting the church to writing nearly half of the New Testament, I came to tell somebody this morning that if you'll be open to the change that God wants to make in your life, he'll bless your life abundantly. Amen. Number one, they were a people who were willing to change. Number two, they were a people of destiny. They were a people of destiny, the characteristics of a Passover people. They were a people of destiny. They had a destiny to fulfill. They had a specific purpose. God had determined that he would allow them to inherit the promised land. God had a mission for their life. God had a plan for their life. I believe with all of my heart this morning that God has a plan for Elevation Worship Center. I said this when we started the church. We are not a flash in the pan. Amen. We are here to stay, not by our might, not by our power, but by the Spirit of the living God. We are here to stay because God has determined that we will make an impact on the community and in the lives of those that are open to the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. I believe that God has a specific purpose in mind for each one of us. The Bible said in the book of Esther that we have been brought into the kingdom of God for such a time as this. I believe with all of my heart, beloved, that God is raising us up in order to reach our generation with the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. God did not just save us from our sin so that we could watch the world go to hell in a handbasket, but God saved us and raised us up so that we might be a light to the community of the city of Hemet and round about, and so that we might testify of the goodness and the grace and the life-changing power of our God. We have a destiny. They were a people of destiny. We are a people of destiny. Amen. We have been brought to this point so that we might fulfill the will of God on planet Earth. We are his church. Number three, they were a people of vision. They were a people of vision. They knew where they had come from, but they also knew where they were going. They had a vision. They had a vision before them. Beloved, let me ask this morning, where are you going in your relationship with God? Is it what it could be? Is it what it should be? Is your relationship, do you have a vision? Do you have a vision? If you have no vision, you will have no plan of action to get there. We must have a vision. Vision creates focus. Vision creates determination. Vision creates potential. The Bible said in Proverbs 29 and 18, and I'm getting ready to close, but Proverbs 29 and 18 says, where there is no vision, people perish. People perish. Where there is no vision, there is inactivity. Where there is no vision, there is a lack of focus. Where there is no vision, there is a lack of determination. We must have a vision. Amen. That building over there on the corner of 44 and 16 is just another step in the vision. We have not forsaken our vision to build our own facility. It's just another step in the process. It's just another step in the process. I've shared with my elders, I may never build our own building, but I believe with all of my heart that God will raise up someone from among us that may, if the Lord tarries. And if the Lord tarries not, then who cares? Hello? If the Lord doesn't tarry, hey, I'm out of here. We have to have vision. They were a people of vision. All of the natural things that they saw with their eye was against them. Stop and think about that for a moment. Moses sends in the 12 spies. The 12 spies go in and they spy out the land. They're there for 40 days. They come back, said, oh, it's a good land. Ain't no doubt about that. Here, check out the grapes, man. Look at the fruit of the land. It's a good land. Oh, yeah, we could be happy there. But there ain't no way we can have it. Why? Because there are giants over there. There are all kinds of obstacles. In fact, we saw a city over there called Jericho that had walls that thick. They're impenetrable. We can never take down that city. But God said we could have it. Well, I know what God said, but there is no way. And two, Joshua and Caleb, two said it's a good land and we can take it. Let's go get it. Hello? That's the kind of mentality we need to have. That's the kind of mentality we need to have. Those two men had a vision. They recognized that their inability was God's opportunity. Everything they saw in the natural was against them, and they, by faith, still voted with God. Out of all of those spies that went in and checked out the land, the Bible bears out that only two of those men went in and possessed the land. You know who they were? Joshua and Caleb. The ones that had a vision to inherit it in the first place. And when Caleb was 80 years old, when they got ready to go in and take the land, when Caleb was 80 years old, he said, now I am old, but I'm still on my game. Let me go take what God said I could have. Hello, you can read about it right there in the book of Joshua. Why? Because they had a vision. They were a people who were willing to change. They were a people of destiny, and they were a people of vision. And I close asking the question, what kind of changes? What kind of changes do you need to make in your life? What kind of changes do you need to make in your household that will bring you and your family into a closer relationship with Christ? What are some of the things that you need to turn loose of in order to obtain or lay hold of? What are some of the things that you need to put behind you that you might focus on what is ahead? Are you ready to step out of your comfort zone? Are you ready to step out into a more vibrant relationship with Christ? Then I say to you this morning, pass over. Pass over your previous failures. Pass over any barriers or any obstacle that would stand in your way. Pass over your fear of the unknown on the other side. The same God that has brought you to this point in your life is the same God that will forever be with you on the other side. Bow your heads, please. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Heavenly Father, thank you for your anointing to preach your word. Thank you this morning, God, for your word, for the examples that it has set forth. Help us this morning, Lord, to be a people who are willing to embrace changes that you bring us to, in order for us to obtain a more perfect walk with you. Thank you this morning that you have spoke to our hearts and our spirit about some things that we need to change. I pray, Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, as your word has gone forth, that you will shine a light into the hearts of these that have heard. And I would ask, O God, that you would just simply point out some of the things that you would like to see changed in their life, and then give us the courage to make those changes. Give us the courage to be willing to step up, step out, and step over. Speak now, Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. How many of you, under the sound of Pastor's voice, would be willing to slip up your hand and say, Pastor Gary, God, there's a few changes that need to take place in my life. Yes, 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 yes. All over the building, all over the building. I see that hand. God sees that hand, more importantly. See, I only asked to see your hand so that I might pray for you. God says, I want to see your hands so that you can witness. Yeah, that's me. I'm not here to judge you. I'm not here to put you down. I'm not here to look down on you. I'm here to encourage you and coach you up, and so you can be everything that you can be in God. Hands have been lifted all over this building. Stand to your feet this morning, please. And let me pray with every hand that was lifted. Heavenly Father, you have seen the hands that have gone upward. God, you have seen those that desire to make change, to embrace change, so that we might be a people with vision and a person that passes over into a greater relationship with you. Father, you see this morning every hand and the roadblock that the enemy has set up in their life to try to detour them. I pray right now by your Holy Spirit that you will bring down those walls, bring down those barriers, bring down those hindrances, and release and loose your anointing upon their lives this morning. That, Father, you may bring them into a closer relationship with you. Hallelujah. I just need to say this. Let me just tell you that the enemy would love nothing more than to keep you on the other side in the wilderness. The enemy would love nothing more than to keep you on the other side and keep you from inheriting what God wants you to have. Make up your mind right now. Make up your spirit right now. Make up your heart right now. Lord, I'm ready to change. Lord, I'm willing to change. Lord, I'm going to make that change. Now you empower me to do it. In the mighty name of Jesus, touch every heart, touch every life. In Jesus' name we pray, and we will fail not to give you the glory and fail not to give you the praise. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.